This is Montana Public Radio. Good morning. I'm Edward O'Brien with Montana Morning News. A relative says his aunt, uncle, and cousin were gunned down when they stopped to help a man whose vehicle had run out of gas on Montana's Crow Reservation. FBI spokesman Todd Palmer confirms two people were killed and a third wounded yesterday morning in the tiny town of Pryor. He says a suspect was later arrested in Wyoming. Palmer couldn't say what led to the shooting and didn't release the victims' names or relationships. Bryce Huggs tells the Billings Gazette that his aunt, Tana Shane, drove by the stranded man, then returned with her husband and daughter to help. Huggs says the man opened fire, killing Tana and Jason Shane and wounding their daughter, Jora Shane. Authorities now believe that the fire burning in Glacier National Park was human-caused, and the National Park Service is turning to the public for help. The 3,200-acre blaze east of Logan Pass started Tuesday, July 21st. Park spokeswoman Denise German says initial evidence suggests the fire was human-caused, and investigators now want to speak with visitors who are in the Gunsight Pass Trail or Reynolds Creek backcountry campground areas from July 14th to July 21st.
Did you see anything of interest? Did you see anything that might have been out of the ordinary? It could be anything simple to elaborate, but if anybody was in that area, it's probably worth giving us a call. We sure would appreciate it.
Anyone with information can call or email the National Park Service. That specific phone number and email address can be found on our website at mtpr.org. Missoula St. Patrick Hospital invited the media to see its new family maternity center that opens Monday. Montana Public Radio News Director Eric Whitney was there and files this story.
Women's Health Director Kathy Schaefer showed off one of the hospital's seven rooms where moms will deliver babies.
The mother is admitted into this room and she stays in this room throughout the whole stay. When baby's born, baby also stays in this room through the whole stay.
The opening of the maternity center ends a long monopoly that St. Patrick's competitor, Missoula Community Hospital, has had on delivering babies. St. Patrick executive Joyce Dombrowski says healthcare markets are changing, and that's why it's now important for St. Pat's to return to being a full-service hospital and start delivering babies again.
It has been early 1970s, so 40-plus years ago. I think they made a good decision at that time, but as usual, things change in healthcare, and here we are today being able to jump back into it.
Dombrowski declined to say how much the new maternity ward cost, but said the expense won't impact the prices for other services St. Patrick offers.
Owners of the northwestern Montana Montanore mine say they're one step closer to operating after the Forest Service found the project in compliance despite objections received during the comment period. The Western News reports that Deputy Regional Forester David Schmid completed his review of the objections last week. Mines Management has been working to permit the mine since 2005. Doctors and state officials yesterday launched a new effort to fight the overuse of narcotic prescription drugs in Montana. The main focus of the campaign is a website called knowyourdosemt.org that contains tools to help doctors and patients decide when painkillers like hydrocodone are appropriate and how to spot signs of addiction.
If you are dealing with a person that's suffering from persistent pain and you identify that as a problem and you are going to be treating that, then yes, we want every provider and every patient to use those tools.
Dr. Bill Galley, an emergency room physician at St. Peter's Hospital in Helena, says prescriptions for addictive painkillers have increased fourfold in the last 25 years, and so have deaths from overdoses of those drugs. But Galley says the program is not intended to discourage doctors from giving their patients powerful medications if they're truly needed.
First year medical school, I was taught there's only two rules in medicine. If what you're doing is working, keep doing it. If what you're doing is not working, stop doing it. I would hope that people would still follow those rules.
Galley says Montana lawmakers decided against following the lead of some states, such as Washington, which have put strict limits on addictive prescription drugs. He says the state studied the issue and found that abuse was already on the decline, so state regulation was not needed. Our love of polar fleece and yoga pants could be contributing microplastic pollution into the water supply. A Bozeman-based group will launch a sampling project in September to find out just how much of this pollutant is in the Gallatin River. Jackie Yamanaka reports.
News that microbeads found in some soaps and toothpaste are finding their way into the tummies of fish in the Great Lakes has led some manufacturers to remove them from their products. But there's another source of microplastic pollution, and it's coming from your washing machine.
We're finding a really large number of what the plastics in our samples are microfibers, so tiny synthetic fibers that are washing off of your laundry every time you wash a polar fleece or synthetic leggings.
Jenna Walenga is the microplastics program manager for the Bozeman-based group Adventurers and Scientists for Conservation. She points to a research paper by ecologist Mark Brown. He sampled wastewater from washing machines. Brown estimated about 1,900 individual fibers can be shed by just one synthetic garment.
We are heavily reliant on plastics in our lives, and when people start to really pay attention to where it's coming from into their own lives, they can really begin to do simple changes to affect that. In terms of your laundry, at this point in time, your best bet is to wash those clothing as little as possible.
Walenga says fish and other organisms can eat these microplastics. But more importantly, some scientists suggest microplastics attract and can soak up toxins and pass them along the food chain. Walenga says this is not just a problem for the world's oceans or major rivers. She says initial sampling around Bozeman found a high level of microplastics along the Gallatin River. The watershed begins in Yellowstone National Park and is a headwater for the Missouri River. ACS is looking for up to 50 volunteers to sample various stretches of the 394-mile-long Gallatin watershed for a year to document the amount of microplastic pollution. It's part of a worldwide initiative. She says ACS has developed protocols which can be found on their website if others want to submit their own water samples for testing. Jackie Yamanaka, YPR News.
The Burlington Northern Santa Fe Railroad has been approved to drive through Miles City at speeds of up to 60 miles an hour, but some city officials aren't happy about it. The Billings Gazette reports the Federal Railroad Administration increased the speed for BNSF's track through the city several weeks ago. Miles City Mayor Butch Gren says residents of the town are upset about the change. BNSF spokesman for Montana Matt Jones says the company had nothing to do with the increased speeds. The speed limit change was a governmental decision. Senator John Tester wrote BNSF last week asking for railroad officials to meet with residents to review the speed change. Democratic Senators Ron Wyden of Oregon and New Mexico's Tom Udall want to double down on a federal coal reform proposal. Coal is currently valued when it's sold at the mine. Companies are accused of selling their coal at artificially low prices to their own subsidiaries, which turn around and resell it at higher prices. Some estimate that practice shortchanges state and local governments of tens of millions of dollars annually. The Interior Department now wants coal companies to pay taxes based on the prices they charge companies that are not their subsidiaries. Senator Wyden says that's a good start, but doesn't go far enough.
For example, if a coal company sells coal at $12 or $13 per ton to somebody they know is going to quickly sell it for $16, the taxpayer ought to get the royalty on $16, the true market price, regardless of who the middleman is. The bill is based on what are current and successful practices in Montana.
The bill would also require the government to calculate and publish the going market rate for coal and coal transportation, and it would require a federal audit every 3 years. The coal industry counters these reform proposals could lead to a spike in electricity prices and hamper coal production. They say that would lead to a reduction in coal-related revenue and ultimately lead to higher property taxes. Flathead County has a tentative agreement to purchase a former Walmart building in Evergreen to house the county jail. The county has hired experts to study the feasibility of using the 130,000-square-foot former box store for a jail, as well as to conduct an environmental study on the 14-acre site. Thanks a lot for listening. For Montana Headline News, I'm Edward O'Brien.